right. Good to see everybody this morning. We had a dynamite day yesterday, in my opinion. One of the most faithful men I've ever met in my entire life, Brother Bob Bevington, of course, went home to be with the Lord. And we had his services yesterday. I thought those went over very, very well. I believe that the family was well pleased, and I believe the Lord was well pleased. And we started on time, so I believe Brother Bob was well pleased. So pray for that family. It's difficult to lose your daddy. They just lost their mom not too long ago. So make sure you pray for that family. And they know he's in heaven. That's the great thing. Aren't you glad? I tell you, when you go through things like it's just different. I preach so many of them. It's so wonderful to know that a person's in heaven. It's so wonderful to know that it's just, I'll see you later. Amen? I mean, it's so wonderful to know that the next time I see Brother Bob, he's going to be running around heaven like crazy. He walked through all the health issues he had, kept walking. Can you imagine what he's going to be doing up in heaven right now? He's shooting around like Speedy Gonzalez, I guarantee you. And I'm excited that we're going to get to see him again. That's a promise. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a hope so. It's a know so. And I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited to know that Brother Bob's in heaven right now. We talked about last week, we've been talking about grace and mercy. They are very different, but so often they go together. So very often they are basically at the same time. They are different, but they are at the same time. We talked last week about John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you don't have to face condemnation? Aren't you glad that you don't have to face that? Someday if you die or if the rapture comes, we're going to go to be in heaven forever. What a wonderful thought that is. In 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, I spent a lot of time on this. Manifold means many different types. Man, if you think about folding a piece of paper over and over and over again, there's many folds in that piece of paper. There's many different sides and edges, many different parts of that piece of paper that's being folded. So the manifold grace of God means that there's many different types of grace. There's many different types of mercy. God very, very often gives us in many different ways the things that we do not deserve to get. Then there's also the times that he gives us in many different ways. He does not give us the things we do deserve to get. Can you say amen to that? He gives us the things that we do not deserve and keeps us from things that we do deserve. There's many times in every single day life that you do something that's bad enough that if God had opened his wrath unto you and ignored his promises in the Bible, that God could open up his wrath and squash us many different times. But he gives us manifold mercy. He gives us manifold mercy over and over, different types and different ways. He shows us manifold mercy. Then he gives us manifold grace. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is where we screw up. God gives us this manifold grace in many different ways that we don't see. See, we are in America. We have to have everything big. We have to have everything on the marquee at Times Square. We have to have everything large or we don't even notice it anymore. Think about that. We don't even notice it unless it's huge, unless it's monstrous. We don't notice it. Oh, we want Jesus to come down and feed 5,000 right in front of us again. We don't thank him for the time he fed my five. Oh, now, preacher, we work for our food. I mean, come on, preacher, we work. Let me tell you something. Brother Edwards, he feeds your four every day. Are you with me? Manifold grace of God, he fed my five so far for all the years they've been alive. You say, well, that... What do you mean? You've gone out and earned your money. How do you think I earned my money? The Lord takes care of me. The Lord has given me what I've gotten in every single way. I had a an absolute blessing this last week, and I don't grab, I'm more of a show me type of blessing guy, but as soon as it comes through, it's God's fault. These blessings, these things that we have, these manifold graces, the fact that your tires had air in them this morning, that's a manifold grace of God. A grace that has allowed you to come into this church house and the lights are on, that's a grace of God. The fact that we have padding on our pews, that's a grace of God. The fact that we've got teachers that came today to show up and teach the children, that's a manifold grace of God. The fact that we have a Christian school where children can come and learn about Jesus Christ. Our electives are mandatory. Our electives are Bible, and they are mandatory in our school. I mean, what kind of school could you go to that the electives are mandatory? That doesn't even make sense. Mandatory electives. Electives are just so they don't have to be mandatory. But we're mandatory Bible. You will have Bible electives. That's a grace of God. Those are all things that maybe we don't see, that maybe we don't understand, and maybe we don't hold on to. The small things that are manifold grace of God. Certainly having my children was a grace of God usually. It was by the grace of God my son liveth. And I mean that in the most respectful way. But I'm going to tell you, that is a grace of God. The fact that I'm married is a grace of God. That he's provided me with the wife that is perfect for me is the grace of God. Those are the biggies. The fact that we still love each other is a grace of God daily. I mean, do you know what it takes to love me? A lot of grace of God. But that's the manifold. There's different sizes of grace. There's different sizes. God is all in all. If we could stop for a moment and see the beauty of the flowers that were surrounding Brother Bob's casket. Those are beautiful. To be able to bring Bob into a church house to have a funeral. I mean, some people, they get creeped out by that. I think that's joyous, a celebration. The amount of lives that were touched by this man, the simplicity that is their picture on the back of this John and Romans. That's a manifold grace of God. See, it's one of those things where we may not see it. We may expect it. We have these expectations, and rightly so. We're Americans. We live in the greatest country in the whole wide world. But that's the grace of God that gave us this country. That's the grace of God that gives us the ability to talk about the King James Bible and preach about the Word of God. It's a manifold grace of God. The veterans that have supplied us with this freedom is a manifold grace of God. I know that I'm pounding this into the ground, but are you understanding? Brother Jeff Riegert's here all the way from Toledo. 200 rounds of golf, brother. That's the manifold grace of God. See, what you got to understand is we need to enjoy God's grace in everything. Not just the little things, not just the big things. Enjoy God's grace in everything. My father-in-law's had double pneumonia. I promise you, he believes that the breaths that he is taking now are the manifold grace of God. See, the air that we breathe, he's just lending to me. We have to enjoy God's grace. More than that, we've got to enjoy his mercy. Oh, how many times have you questioned the Lord? How many times have you shaken your fist at God? How many times have you blamed your good work on not needing the Lord? How many times have we just expected, and how many times have we used God's mercy? How many times have we seen it and used it, but we don't understand it? God is keeping his wrath from us, even though we deserve it in so many ways. Even though we deserve it in so many avenues, God's wrath, he holds it back because of his wonderful, manifold mercy. How many times has God deserved and been rightly just in punishing us, but he doesn't do it. Instead, he shows us mercy. What a great God we have to show us those mercies. I told you these things yesterday. Manifold transgressions is found in Amos 5:12. Manifold works of God is found in Psalm 104:24. Manifold temptations is found in 1 Peter 1:6. The manifold wisdom of God is Ephesians 3. Manifold mercies of God is found in Nehemiah 9:19. And manifold grace of God is found in 1 Peter 4:10. There are many forms of the grace of God. He's given His children many things that we do not deserve. The manifold mercies of God means that God has not given us many things that we do deserve. The manifold grace of God then means that there are all kinds of things that we did not deserve that God gives us. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Mercy says you will never have to go to hell. Oh, I tell you, you know what's funny? We get excited, Brother John, about heaven. And rightly so. Woohoo! Heaven, no meatloaf. We get excited about heaven. We get excited and amen and praise the Lord. You should get just as excited about no hell. No hell for me. I don't have to go to hell. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. If I did just have a room in heaven, which I don't because I've got the real word of God, I would be just as excited because I'm not going to hell. Hell is eternal. You can't wrap your head around that. You have no idea what eternal means. You would think that this Sunday school message is eternal. It's not, okay? It's only going to last for another 25 minutes. And we talk about eternal things. We have no idea. Hell is eternal. Do you realize that Cain is still there? Still there and will forever be. See, we think about these things and we kind of brush off hell and the eternity of it. How wonderful is God's mercy that He would not send, because that's what we deserve, amen? That's what we deserve. Wherefore, is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every single last one of us somewhere along the line has sinned. But I'm going to tell you right now that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We're so excited to be able to say that we will not have to go to hell. Adam sins and Adam falls. Mercy brings Adam back to where he was, while grace takes Adam above where he was. Grace is a bunch of bonuses. God gave His children more than we deserve because we accepted Jesus' payment for our sin. Now, and I like this thought process. Mercy brings us back into fellowship. It really does. Mercy takes us out of no fellowship and into fellowship. Then after fellowship, God takes us way past that by giving us His grace. Mercy gives us back into standing of being God's children. By the way, let me help you out. We are not all children of God. You hear that statement quite often. I don't know if people just say it to give themselves comfort or they say it because they really think they are, but the Bible says, how are you a child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus. If you don't have faith in Christ Jesus, you are none of His. You've got to believe in God, or if you don't believe in God and believe that He is, how can you say that you have faith? Faith is something hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you hear the Word of God, you'll trust Christ. That's what the Word of God points you towards. Can't get saved without it. The Bible says so. Well, you can say what you want to say. That's not popular preaching in many of the independent fundamental Baptist churches. But I tell you what, argue with this. What's amazing to me is that it's a grace of God that we have salvation. Turn to Ephesians with me. You know where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 2. You should know these verses. These should be something you have memorized. And I know that we're going to get to 8, but I want to start with verse 1. This verse has everything, this passage has everything to do with this. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath He quickened, who were dead. Wait a minute now, I wasn't dead, I was alive. No, you were dead spiritually. You were dead. If you got saved, He brought you to life through His salvation. What a grace of God, that's a bonus. Amen. And you hath He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Wait a minute, I'm still trespassing, I'm still sinning, Brother Dave, I don't understand. That's the manifold grace of God. Whew, what a good God we have. We'll get there in a minute. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. I'm so glad He puts everybody there. I'm so glad He doesn't just put Brother Eddie there, or me there, or Brother John there. He puts everybody there. Every single person in time past had their conversation with the prince of the power of the air. Your life was led for the devil earlier. Well, that's just crazy talk. argue with the Bible. Among whom also we had all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, boy, I tell you, how many times in the Bible do we see those two words together? But God, there we are, but God. There we were, but God. Deep in sin, deep in death, deep in all that, but God. Boy, he's good to us. Well, he didn't give me the car I wanted, but God. Good night and a morning. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. There's your mercy. Now, wait a minute. You just read mercy. There's your mercy. He quickened you, didn't leave you in death. He quickened you by his mercy. He reestablished that connection that was severed by sin. Do you understand that's what happened in the garden? The connection, the fellowship that they had with God. Can you imagine Adam walking in the cool of the day with God? And the only thing that he couldn't do is eat of that tree. And he did it. Forget Eve's part. He did it. And because he did it, death and sin came upon all of us. God reestablishes the fellowship that was broken that day when you get saved. When you accept his payment, that reestablishes that connection. That is mercy. It takes you from hell and reestablishes the connection that you have with the Heavenly Father. That's mercy. You see it in the scripture here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Oh, well, wait a minute, Brother Dave. You just said mercy was that part. I'm telling you, these things work right together. I'll get to it here in a second. Mercy and grace work together. God is that good, by the way. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If I'm going to tell you, that just about make a Catholic shout if he understood that. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And boy, does he. Everything that surrounds you is grace of God. If we would be honest and we would be insightful and open our eyes to how good he is. For by grace, boy, now these verses show up. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You got to take yourself out of the equation. Or if you add yourself into the equation, it's always going to be negative. You've got nothing to offer. Boy, that doesn't go over well in most audience groups. You have nothing to offer here. You tell me that it's your goodness that God has called you. Oh, no. No, you've got nothing good to offer. Everything good comes from him. In your flesh dwelleth what? No good thing, smart people. And you say, well, that's horrible. I'm not even happy I came to Sunday school today. Brother Dave, I don't like that kind of talk. No, you don't understand. You're reading it the wrong way. That should make you excited. That shouldn't make you upset that I just called you a dirty dog. That shouldn't make you upset that I just called you nothing to offer. That should make you excited that God looked down, Brother Bob, and he saw you and I. Brother Bobby looked down and he saw me, a little drunkard boy, already saved. Oh, he's a drunkard. God had every right in the whole wide world to put his foot down and squash. Well, you're saved and you're a dirty rotten dog. I don't have any use for you anymore. But his grace showed up and said, I'm going to make you a preacher instead. We'll get to grace here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you right now, the mercy that God showed by allowing me to continue to take breaths, even in the times I was cursing him, even in the times I was living against him, even through all those times, God's mercy kept that connection established between him and I. God does it all. Don't you think that's wonderful that God has interest in you? Personally, not corporately. Get tired of that with the church. Yeah, I understand that, and I believe the church is wonderful. But God is so far beyond the church. He establishes it with you. Personally. His salvation was for all. But He saved you. That's what this is about. That's how good God is. I'm not good. I'm not good. Not one. I'm not righteous. No, I'm not. But God loves me still. Oh, that's mercy. What a wonderful God we serve. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at this next verse. We stop there almost every time because we just show people it's not a work salvation, and it's not. The work has been completed at Calvary. But look at this. For us are His workmanship. If you're saved in here today, you're His workmanship. He knew what He was getting when He got you. And He still keeps me. My wife and I make a habit of throwing away bags and bags of broken stuff out of my son's room. And by the way, it just never seems to go away. I think we need Moses' staff to part the toy sea that is in my son's room. But God never throws away a broken person. He fixes them. We're His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. See, we're going to get to salvation here in a minute. Salvation is not being in a lifeboat. Huh? Look at this now. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Salvation is one of those manifold graces of God. See, salvation, yes, although mercy and grace work together simultaneously in salvation, salvation is a manifold grace of God. It takes the people that are unfit, unworthy, undone, and makes them worthy and fit and perfected to serve Him. Oh, we're not perfect. But God, we can do God's work as sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that although they... I'll never forget. I wanted so badly to be in the military. I really did. I put my whole future around it. I wanted to be, and don't... Whatever branch you're in, I know how crazy we get about that. But I wanted to be in the Army. I wanted to be a medic. Okay, that was my whole thing. I wanted to be a medic. I always been intrigued by it. As a matter of fact, when little Ella was in the hospital just the other day, I was taking pictures of her foot. I was right here. I don't know why. I'm fascinated by that kind of thing. I always wanted to be a medic. So I sold out everything. I mean, I wanted to be in the Army. That's what I wanted to do. And I get in there, and it's literally the most humiliating thing I've ever done in my entire life, going into the underwear room at the MEPS. Okay, you go 15th floor, and you got these people around there. You're standing in your skivvies. And you know, how do you stand? I mean, I don't know how to stand naked in front of people. I don't know what to do. Okay, so I'm there, and I feel like this is no problem. I'm going in, no problem. I have fantastic scores on the test. I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm it. I've got my motorcycle. I'm ready to go. I'm going to be the next guy, poster for the Army. Okay, I'm it. And I get into that room, and the guy's getting ready to examine. Glory to God, things that ought not be examined. And he's talking to me, and he sees this spot of psoriasis on my side. If I tell him it's a cigar burn, I'm in the military. But instead, I told him it's psoriasis, and he sent me to another room. And I go over into this other room, and I start talking to this doctor, blah, 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 blah. And our illustrious President Clinton had put in just before that, if you have psoriasis, you're no longer allowed to serve. So at the time, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You're turning me down. I just watched all the scumbags that came in here running from the law, couldn't pass the ASVAB if they had the answers, and you're turning me down. They took this big, giant rubber stamp, permanent, medically disqualified. I couldn't even be drafted, okay? That's how good I felt that day. And this man at this counter in front of everybody, God in the world, bam! Permanent medically disqualified right in front of my folder. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, I didn't see that coming. I'm not good enough to serve in the army. Where's that put me? So I started to think to myself, man, and I look back now, okay, God had a different army for me to be in. I have a wonderful affinity for the soldiers. You know that. The military, I love them because they serve for me when I couldn't go. And I look at what God has done. He took somebody, and you got to understand, have you ever felt rejected? Come on now. I just want you to think with me for a moment. In your life, have you ever felt rejected? In your life, have you ever felt not worthy? In your life, have you ever been picked last for kickball? Hey, listen, I grew up that way, whatever. I was a little pudgy kid. I didn't, who takes Dave? We'll find out at the end. That's when I got picked. And you don't feel good when you're a kid ever. I understand. You don't feel good when you don't get picked. You go through life and you don't get picked. The promotion skips over you and goes to some little punk that's only been there for 3 weeks because they got a college education. You've done the job for 25 years. You know it back to front. But the promotion goes to a snot-nosed kid with a piece of paper. That's rejection. I understand that. But God looked down and saw you who was not worthy to serve, who was permanently disqualified to serve, and said, hey, I'm going to fix that guy and make him a servant of me. That's a grace of God. Salvation is more than just missing out on hell. Salvation is being salvaged. Salvation is being taken from the dregs of society, from a child. What do you start out at in Ephesians chapter 2? You hath he quickened who were dead. You've been taken from death and brought into life. You walked according to the course of this world. Now you walk according to the course of his world. You used to, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now you're walking according to Jesus Christ. Now, the chances that you had to do this on your own were impossible, but by grace are you saved through faith. So you got to understand, Christ took someone that had the big red stamp on their folder. Christ took someone who was unworthy, diseased, full of filth, no righteousness. God took that mark off their folder and said, I'm going to use them to propagate my gospel. That's the grace of God. Yes, you're worthy to get into heaven. God bless you for taking salvation. God bless you for taking that payment that God has made. But you were not saved to sit. No more than men were drafted to sit. Let me ask you a question. When you sign up for the military, I tried. I got to believe, though, that when you sign up for the military, they don't find you a chair and put you in it. Huh? Carl, when you signed up for the Navy, did they go ahead and just sit you in a chair and that was the end of your service? Thanks for signing up. Have a seat. Huh? Marines in here, did they? I don't even think they have chairs in the Marine Corps. I think you have to eat lunch sitting up or standing up, for goodness sake. I'm going to tell you right now, was there ever a time that when you signed up that you were able to sit? Well, why do we think that being signed up for God's army, that we're ready to sit and do nothing for God? He salvaged you. He took someone that was not worth it and made them worth it. He made us kings and priests. That's what he talks about. He don't have to go through being a private. God bless that. Oh, there's no worry about a corporal. Sergeant, nah. Kings and priests, that's where he takes you to. Isn't that a wonderful grace of God? Salvation is so wonderful. And yes, the mercy of not going to hell is great. But the grace of God while we're here to be able to serve him and talk about him is children. He's made us children. Man, what a wonderful God we have. one of God's manifold graces is that He saves us or salvages us and makes us usable. Mercy saves us from hell. Grace is where He salvages us to make us a preacher, to make us a choir director, a bus captain, a youth director, a piano player, an usher, a bus director, a Sunday school teacher, or a choir member, a soul winner, a friend. I'm not talking about BFFs. By the way, they outlawed that in Britain. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? You're no longer allowed to have a best friend in Britain. I'm not exactly sure how they're going to enforce that rule. But they said that's making children feel disconnected. Oh, God's good. God has salvaged the unsalvageable. The car that's too rusty. The motor that does not turn over. No seats in that car. Nobody. You'd be in the car crusher if He had His way. But God changes you when He saves you. And because of His grace, makes you able to serve. One of the greatest joys we miss out on is serving our King. One of the greatest joys we miss out on is doing our best to serve the world and your job. And you know, listen, you can say what you want and you can try to disagree with me, but you won't miss a day of work. Come on now. Let me get right where you're at here, because I know I understand it. You will not miss a day of work. There's some folks in here that miss a day of work since their shop lights turned on. And if the boss called you, you'd go. Boy, how flippant we are with the service of God, though, who is eternal, who means a whole lot more to us than our job, which He gave you, by the way. You say, well, it's because of my knowledge. You know, let me tell you something. Dan Sabo is the only person in like the whole world that can run the machine that he runs and do the things that he does at his shop. But guess who gave him that knowledge? Amen? See, God let him in on that. God dispersed that to him. And what you've got to understand is this, that what we have given to us from God, we sometimes don't take truly and use it, do we? I mean, come on, be honest with me. Now think with me. You would show up and you'd do your work and you'd be, and God bless you, you should. You should be the greatest employee at your business. You should be the one that they count on because you're a Christian. But man, when it comes time to serve the Lord, how many times have we shirked the responsibility that God has put on us, that God has asked us to take, that God has asked us to do? We shirk the, and by the way, I'm with you. I've done it too. Well, I haven't had time to sit in my chair today. God can wait. Come on now. I wonder if we would take that more seriously, how filled this church would become. Just a thought. I wonder if we'd take that seriously, how quickly we'd read through our Bibles. Just a thought. I wonder if we took that seriously, how many prayers that we would see get answered. Help me. The manifold grace of God provides salvation at mercy, but then gives the grace of that salvation throughout your life. God's mercy does not let you go to hell, and God salvages your soul and goes beyond just keeping you out of hell. By God's grace, He salvages our lives, and we end up co-laborers with God Himself. Will a person go to hell if he listens to bad music? No. But you'll have to go to hell to listen to it. Will a person go to hell for going to Hollywood movies, smoking or drinking? What kind of Christianity is that? Certainly not. There is so much more to salvation. The salvaging of the soul by God's mercy is a whole lot more to it. God is salvaging you so you can be a co-laborer with God Himself, and that is grace. God gives us a bonus, and that bonus is, I'm going to make you a co-laborer. Think about that for a minute. Like I said, He doesn't see you as an employee. He sees you as a co-laborer. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He called John to lead our choir. Doing a good job. Hey, doing a good job. He called John to the, John, isn't that wonderful that you get to wave your hands around for God? I was the choir director. I know he doesn't know what's going on. I know it. I never knew. He don't know either. He just does this and smiles a lot. I know that. Miss Rosie does all of it, and Brother Bill. These two are the ones that do it. We just stand up here and take the title. I know how it goes. Praise the Lord. But isn't it great you get to do it for the Lord? Isn't it wonderful that you get to sing for the Lord in the choir? Isn't it wonderful that you get to pray? All those things are wonderful, manifold graces of God that He gives to us for free. I wish that we'd grab a hold of the grace of God. I feel so bad about this too. You see, I'm glad I'm the only one that's ever done this. I know that. But I'm going to tell you right now. Looked at my Bible reading is drudgery. I'm the only one. I praise the Lord for that. I'm the only one that's honest. I've looked at this and said, man, four different things every day. Brother Dave, what have you gotten us into? I just don't like this. I've been with you on that. But that is so much the flesh that takes over. It's so much the flesh that sits in and tells you that it's bad, that tells you it's not worth it, that tells you it's not. This is a wonderful grace of God that we have the knowledge about Him because He's given it to us. And your flesh battles you so intensely. Isn't that fight intense? Your desire to watch an R-rated movie. And people have been coming to me lately about that. Let me tell you something. If you think those are R-rated like they used to be, you're crazy. You go 20 years ago, those R-rated movies that you're watching, they'd be X or double X. You got nakedness and everything. They tell you right up front, there's going to be people naked. Oh, okay, we'll turn it off when it comes. It's amazing to me how we look at the Christian life as a drudgery, as a ball and chain, oh my goodness, I don't want to live like a Christian. We trade in what God has given us for worthlessness. We trade in what God has given us. The grace that He showed us, we decide to throw on a trash heap and do whatever we want to with our lives when God has given us such wonderful grace. The grace that can take you out of those things. The grace that has brought you from death unto life. The grace that has taken you out of the trespasses and sin that you once lived in and brought you into the wonderful, glorious light of life. That wonderful grace that He's given us. We can't lose salvation. That's mercy. We can't lose it. We can't lose. We're always going to be connected. But it's amazing to me how often we want to sever the connection and live in the filth. Well, Brother Dave, it's okay. I'm always saved. That's not going to stand up when you talk to God. That's why preachers ought to quit pussyfooting, because God's not going to pussyfoot when you see Him. God's refining fire eyes are going to look through you, and you're going to ask, oh, man alive, I guess I shouldn't have done those things. I'm with you. I've done them. I'm not harping on you. I've done it. I've gone back to the hog pen from time to time and decided, oh, God, I'm just going to take a break from Christianity. Tell me you've never said that. Tell me you've never felt that way. Oh, never. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for your long flowing phylacteries and your wonderful robes. I'd like to get myself a fish hat one of these days. But I know what my life has been, and there's been times that I've sat in this pen. And you say, it feels good over here. Have you ever said that? Oh, it feels good just every once in a while. See, that's taking you back to where you were. God has taken you from that. And I'm not telling you that you have to live your life perfect, but we ought to want to. We ought to want to. It took my wife and I forever to get rid of our movies that we ought not have. Why is that? Because we'd rather eat from the hog pen in this swill than go into the wonderful, marvelous light of grace. The grace that is greater than all our sin. We'd rather live over here for a while. I know this isn't hooting and hollering exciting, but God's grace is so much greater than all this. We look at that grace that is greater than all our sin. Can I change your thought process on that? Greater does not mean bigger and bigger than. Greater does not mean it overwhelms this. Grace that is greater means it's better over here. It's better over here. You want to start having marriage trouble? Watch nakedness on the movies. Grace is greater than that. Grace keeps me in love with my wife. Grace is that wonderful prize that I've been given in my wonderful wife. Grace keeps that together. The hog pen tears it apart. Huh? You know what's coming next, don't you? Facebook's here. No, it isn't. It's a wonderful tool. Fantastic. Social media is given to us by God. And social media is given you by the prince of the power of the air. No amens. They all went away. I knew they would. I'm going to be 75 years old talking about whatever's next. But understand this. You want to tear a marriage up? You want to tear a friendship apart? You want to get people mad at each other? Stay right here. Stay right here on Facebook. Grace of God is greater than that. How would you like to come to church and have a Christian tell you they loved you? Not go find it on Facebook. Huh? I tell people I love them on Facebook. Why don't you give them a call and let them hear your voice? Whatever happened to that? I'm going to tell you, we live in a day and age where salvation is more than just getting taken out of hell. Salvation is more than that. Salvation has got to be shown to the world that this is why I'm saved. And because I'm saved, God saw fit. God saw fit to call me out of this. God saw fit to use me. I can't believe that. God saw fit. God saw fit to use you. This is where you lived. This is where you were when he found you. He found you here. You couldn't be there. He found you here. In the swill, in the mire, in the pit. Walking in trespasses and death and sin. This is where he found you. And he said, Brother Bob, I want you to come over here. Can you believe that? Come on now. You better start saying amen to me. You must not think what I'm telling you is true. God saw me over here and called me into his wonderful grace. Glory to God. Amen. He decided to use me as a Baptist preacher. Aren't you glad? I'm going to tell you right now, I can't believe that God called me into his service. I can't believe that I'm going to be wearing robes of white. I can't believe I'm going to be riding those horses coming back with him. I can't believe he's got heaven prepared for me. I can't believe he's got a mansion waiting for me. I can't believe there's going to be no suffering, no pain, no torment, no tears, no goodbyes. I'm going to see Bobby again. Glory to God, he's got a wonderful place for me. And I was over here when he found me. If that's not grace, grace is greater than this. It's greater than this. In other words, it's better over here.
That's right. Amen.
It's better. Oh, the lights aren't as bright. Wait till you get to heaven. They won't need the sun there. No street lights. We've got the Son of God as the light. And I got to believe that he's better even than the wonderful lights we've just got installed for our parking lot. Grace, God's grace that is greater than all my sin. It's better over there. It's better. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the Sunday school hour. Lord, next week I believe we're going to be talking about justification. The wonderful grace that is justification. Oh God, please help us. Help us to realize just how good you are. Lord, coming out of the things that we live in, coming out of that sin, it should not be a drudgery. It should be joy. It should be wonder. It should be truly awesome to come to the realization that He desires us, sinners. He desires us, unworthy. He desires us, to salvage, to save, to serve. You are such a great God, and we do not deserve You. Thank You for loving us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.